I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, here at GeekSpeak with Louis Gerardo.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
Whoa, a little hot there.
Oh, sorry, I'll back off.
Me too.
I was all over it.
This is Katie and Kay Carbondale. Support for GeekSpeak comes from your membership and from Louis the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected, 948-7992. And Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installation, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com and 704-9130. Again, you're listening to GeekSpeak.
And my observation is that the thing I have in common with Geeks with Umbrella Roofing is that we basically make sure that nobody rains on your parade.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So I've gotten several calls today about people who got scammed or victims of computer fraud.
And, yeah.
So it's really rampant out there. And as I observed a few weeks ago, the one thing that all of the people, and you can tell me if this counts, like if you see the statistic to be true as well, but the one thing that everybody that I've dealt with that have been scammed on their computer, the one thing they have in common, they don't listen to GeekSpeak.
There's the problem. Need to listen to GeekSpeak.
Yes. So all of you out there, you know,
be suspicious and be informed.
At the top of the computer food chain who are listening today, you know, just GeekSpeak's like taking out an insurance policy, you know, against getting attacked by the dark netherworld. So I guess I was just, Matt and I were just going over an article about the rapid transit system in San Francisco was the victim of ransomware this weekend, over the holiday weekend. And apparently, so I guess we should talk about where can ransomware lurk, you know, because I know we've talked about it coming as a email attachment. We've talked about it coming as a link. And so let's talk about some of the other places where, you know, where have you seen it, Matt, or where do you think it could show up?
Well, one of the big ones I've noticed is if you search for computer company X support,
mm-hmm.
and, you need to really make sure that you're at their website. So, you know, hp.com for mm-hmm. HP, Dell.com or Dell.com for Dell and Apple.com for Apple and so mm-hmm. forth. You need to be very cognizant of your URL when mm-hmm. you're looking for these things, because a lot of them will be like 123 support Lenovo.com or
mm-hmm.
some insane thing like that. And it'll mm-hmm. have some 1-800 number that these people have set up, and they'll charge you $200 or $300
mm-hmm.
to clean up your computer. Now, whether they're legitimately cleaning up your computer or not is somewhat mm-hmm. suspect to me.
So you're saying that if I go to a website that's called greathpprintersupport.com,
it's not HP.
I'm probably not going to get great printer support. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you might get decent support, but they're going to...
Yeah. Well,
it's just need to be really careful with that.
Yeah, and actually, I believe one of the cases that I dealt with today was somebody that was looking for tech support online. Same exact scenario you just described. And they were not mindful of the URL. If you need support for your HP printer, do not get a phone number from anywhere other than HP.com.
Yeah, so go to support.hp.com.
Yeah.
And this works for almost all of them.
Mm-hmm.
It'll take you directly to their support page. They'll start asking you mm-hmm. what kind of device you want to have or you have mm-hmm. and you want to need support with. And so I know that works for HP and Dell
mm-hmm.
and I think Apple.
Yep.
And Lenovo, I believe. Yep.
So what you're just talking about, though, is fraudulent tech support or people who are masquerading as being something that they aren't. I started out talking about ransomware. Ransomware that took down the San Francisco transit system came in through a keylogger, or I'm sorry, a
torrent
key generator.
Yes,
is what it's called. And so let's talk a little bit about you know, I heard you can get all kinds of free stuff from a thing called BitTorrent. What's the deal with that?
So that's a peer-to-peer network. And so you have how it's set up is you have what are called seeds, and then you have the swarm of computers. So you have a few computers or servers, as the case may be, depending on what you're doing, that have the file that you want. So, for example, I use torrents very often to download things like Debian Linux or Ubuntu Linux or SUSE Linux.
So there are legitimate reasons to use BitTorrent.
Right. And so this, and in this case, what you can do is you have a server or two or a couple computers at, you know, people's homes and things that are the seeds. They have the file. And so what BitTorrent does is it cuts up that file into X number of pieces, usually somewhere in 1,000-piece mark for the ones I download. And so they're these chunks of file that are, you know, 2 or 3 megabytes.
Okay.
So you can download them pretty quickly. And so the seeds have all the those pieces. And then...
so they're more like fractals.
Sort of, yeah.
Okay.
So the, but the cool thing is so you have a server that's sending this stuff out, and then well, the other, you know, so if I download the this file, I end up with chunks, these chunks, and it's in no necessarily any order.
Yeah.
But I have these chunks, and other people online, can, other computers will say, hey, I need chunk, you know, 726.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to come from one of the servers. It's not a thing. So, for example, my computer that's running Torrent, kid says, hey, I have that piece. You want it? Here you go.
Sure.
And so you end up with a swarm of computers sharing all these chunks of this file. And so it distributes the bandwidth usage. Instead of just coming from the server, you have this swarm of computers that are downloading the same thing, and they switch pieces and trade
them. So you end up like with a digital sausage.
Yeah, and then it... And
came
then
from a bunch of different places and then all it, dumped into your meat grinder.
And then it finishes and it's correct.
Yeah. So that's pretty amazing that it even works. You know?
Yeah.
So.
So, but the issue with that is anybody can share anything with it. And so in this case, they had a piece of software called a key generator. And so basically what that means is somebody's taken the digital rights management, the DRM, from that, from a piece of software for, like, for example, Microsoft Office or perhaps one of the Adobe suite programs or the suite itself. And there's a program that generates a key based on the software.
They've figured out the algorithm.
Yes.
For the activation key, which and, I'm just blown away that anybody can do that because, you know, whenever I'm sitting there entering in an activation key for a piece of software, I'm sitting there going, I think I see a pattern. No, I don't see a pattern. You know, oh, I see a pattern there. No, there's no pattern there. But, you know, just the fact that anybody has
the
smarts to do that. I mean, they probably have programs that do it. I don't know.
Yeah, there's probably some automation there. But yeah. So
anyway, so
that's what that program's supposed to do.
Key generator.
Is to generate a key so you can plug in the information in the key and activate your software.
I have a confession. I've actually have used a key generator once, and it was basically a situation where I had a client who had a fully legitimate, you know, copy of, what is it? It was an early Creative Suite. You know,
like CS2 or something. It was a
$699 piece of software, and they had lost their Adobe key for it. And they had the box, everything's there, it's all. But the key was in some sort of the insert or whatever, and so it wasn't there. And so we went ahead and found a CS2 key generator. And we're able to generate, you know, because his hard drive crashed, we were able to generate a key and get it reinstalled on his computer, and everything was hunky dory. So, you know, that was a legitimate use, you know, for something like that. However, I guess this ransomware attack that happened in San Francisco over the weekend. So, which, by the way, most people who rode transit in San Francisco got to ride for free. This weekend, because it shut down all of the kiosks where people were paying and pulling up train schedules and so on and so forth. All the gates end up getting locked open. Everybody got to ride for free. And for the most part, everybody's pretty happy, you know, about it.
I wonder what that cost.
And it probably cost quite a bit. So the, I guess the, what did we say it was? The total they wanted to unlock it.
So it was 100 Bitcoins.
Yeah, 100 Bitcoins. So $73,000 was the price that the hacker wanted to unlock their data. And but it sounds like he didn't really get a very high value target, you know, doesn't sound like to me, but I don't know, because they were able to get it restored and back up going by Sunday evening, I guess. So they got it back up and running. But, you know, it just it makes me feel not so, I don't know.
Well, it seems like a keylogger would have been much better of a choice than...
Or like a legitimate piece of software, is that what you're saying?
No. Yeah. I'm saying it as a virus person. You say, well, I want to log all the credit cards and all the passes.
Oh, yeah, keylogger. Sorry, I was thinking key generator. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess in any more, the ransomware has really taken kind of a turn. It's being more and more targeted towards corporate environments. I don't know if you knew that or not, but they're finding that...
it's so much cheaper to deploy that stuff now.
Yeah. They're finding that it often targets businesses, for example, hospitals rather than individuals, and corporations have more valuable data and more money for ransom. You know, the ransomware increases from roughly $500 per computer to $15,000 for the entire hospital, for instance. So these guys are actually, targeting ways that they can effectively deliver to particular target-rich environments. Yeah. You know,
well, and that's one of the ones that I had over the summer. They had spoofed one of the old emails addresses that the company had used from somebody who worked there previously, and it came in and said, "Hey, there's this scanned document," and it had a link to it, and they opened it up, and
it goes to show you cannot trust anything. You know, even if it's like your best friend. I remember. You remember a virus called the love letter virus?
Vaguely.
Way back in the day, there was a virus called the love letter. And this friend of mine, he had a friend named Bobby Love. And Bobby Love, every 4 months or 3 months, would send out his family newsletter. It was called the love letter. And so this email shows up in his inbox, which says the love letter on it from Bobby Love. And he's like, goes ahead and opened it, and it made mayhem out of his computer. So it's I guess, have you ever heard of the jigsaw approach at increasing urgency to pay a ransom? I guess they go in and delete files at regular intervals to increase the urgency to pay the ransom faster. Jigsaw ransomware operates like this. For every hour that passes in which victims have not paid the ransom, another encrypted file is deleted from the computer, making it unrecoverable even if the ransom is paid or files decrypted via another method. The malware also deletes an extra 1,000 files every time victims restart their computers and log into Windows. How do you like that? So, you know, these guys just want to... They want to get you while you're impulsive, you know.
Yeah.
And
so it's time to switch to Linux, is what you're saying?
Well, that goes without saying, right? You know. So how about have you ever heard of something called Petya?
Don't think so.
This is a ransomware that encrypts entire drives.
Oh, wonderful!
Petya ransomware encrypts master file table. This table contains all the information about how files and folders are allocated. I think they mean, what, master file table? Would that be an MFT? Yeah. So,
yeah, one of the MFTs. Yeah.
So that's another way. Let's see. RansomWeb and KimSilware, encrypting web server data. RansomWeb, KimSilware are both families that take this unusual route. Instead of going after users' computers, they infect web servers through vulnerabilities and encrypt website databases and hosted files, making the website unusable until the ransom is paid.
Oh, how nice.
So, it's good to know that the webmasters are not, spared from this, ridiculous thing. I shouldn't say that. There's probably some ransomware guys listening to the show right now. I should, be buttering them up or something. Let's give our phone number just in case people didn't get that.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976. If you're a little further out, 970-963-2976.
Here's one that I'm familiar with, the DMA Locker, Locky, Cerber, and Crypto Fortress. that encrypt data on network drives. That's kind of old hat, you know.
Yeah, it's no fun, but
yeah,
you have to go to the backups and bring
even
them back.
Even network drives that are not mapped. How do you like that?
Well, as long as they have credentials for it.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Server and Crypto Fortress are all families that attempt to enumerate all open network server message block SMB shares and encrypt any that are found. So, yeah. So, I mean, even in your network environment, you business owners out there, your network shares are not safe from that kind of stuff. So, well, anyway, instead of getting any more esoteric with that, so... But, you know, kind of going back to people will never call you, legitimate people will never call you to tell you that your computer's broken, that it needs to be fixed, or that, and that they can fix it for you. So, anyway, we got a call coming in.
You're on with the Geeks.
Hey, Geeks, it's Donna. How are you?
We're good, Donna. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I have a good question for you. I don't know okay. that you've talked about it lately, but what is your favorite way of backing up all your photos? Do you use Google Photos? Do you use iCloud? Do you use Dropbox? You know?
I
get so nervous about Dropbox because somebody had deleted my files once.
Somebody else that was connected to your Dropbox account? Is that?
Yeah, one of my employees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know that?
I think he did it inadvertently. You know, he was like trying to free up space.
Yeah.
I think he didn't do it on purpose, but.
Well, just so you know, for future reference, they're really good about restoring backups at Dropbox.
Yeah.
I had a client, basically a whole fleet of laptops that all work off the same Dropbox account at one of my clients. Mm-hmm. And this new girl came on board, and like the day I set her computer up, she was at home and she was like doing a search for all files on her computer. And she's like, what is this? It's like, she sees these things showing up that are not hers. And she's like, that's not mine. I'm going to delete it. And so she mm-hmm. just started deleting stuff.
Oh, and, right.
And so, you know, nothing to initiate a new employee like good data recovery right. spanking, you know.
Right.
But, mm-hmm. You know, I'm actually mourning the loss of my cloud backup company. They just completely went off the reservation this weekend. They disappeared. they charged me and then they disappeared. So,
and you can't get your stuff?
Well, there's nothing. It's only for backup purposes.
Oh, okay.
So it's nothing like that. It's just that, you know, I can see these guys. They all like did this one last billing, folded their tents and went to the Caribbean,
wow.
you know, or something. So, but you know, I use, I do use Dropbox for a lot of my stuff, and actually I've been using iCloud photo sharing more. Have you
so
used
you
that at all?
For the extra? Cause it's only like 5 gigabytes or something, isn't it?
You know, you're right about that. And we've actually been for small photo libraries, we've been using iCloud photo sharing. We've actually been using it to alleviate pressure on the storage devices, the storage in our phones.
Right.
We all went and bought 16 gig phones. So we're all like, you know, we're dying 1,000 deaths there, but, Google Photos, our family's using a lot. It's our grandson's got like, you know, 6,000 photos of himself up there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, so. It's really nice. Google Photos is nice. And I think it's unlimited if you don't use high definite, you know, high, mm-hmm. high resolution photos.
Yeah. God bless Google. You know, it's, what's the easiest way to get onto Google Photos? Is like when
you just basically log in. You go to google.com and log in, and then you just click on photos, so you could see all your photos there.
You go to the little 3x3 grid there, and like click on that
right.
and find the one that says photos. Is that?
Yep.
Okay.
I'd have to do it right
Got
now.
It.
Actually, I just remember there's like a. Yeah, it's really easy. There might be a drop down box on the right, up in the upper right, or something like that.
Sure.
Oh no, yeah, it says like you could sign in, and then just on the right, I'd have to sign in, but
mm-hmm.
anyway, very good. Okay.
Very
well,
cool.
I'll listen to the rest of the show. Thanks,
hey, Donna, stay away from that ransomware. Okay.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Be careful out there. It is hideous.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I'm very careful. So thank you.
All right. Take care.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK 963-2976. Oh, we got the cadence on that pretty well.
We did. We can really hone our skills here. So, yep.
Now we're going to have to do it like in the diminutive and a few others, huh?
Yep. Exactly. So, all right. Well, what else is going on out there?
You can rent a botnet to do distributed denial of service attacks now.
Really?
About 400,000 bots. Yeah.
Can I hire one to promote my band?
Well, on Facebook or something?
Yeah. Like a benevolent botnet. You know?
Cause, yeah. Just, and actually, like, just do like, just like 1,000 posts a minute or something, just to keep it.
Well, I suppose you could do that, but and actually, you know, believe it or not, I've actually researched this. There are actually sites that you can go to, and the reason that I, of course, you know, as soon as I started researching it, the light bulb kind of came on for me in a very self-serving kind of way. But I was involved in a situation. I was retained kind of pro bono by a nonprofit who had gotten into one of these, Facebook likes contests. And it was like, whoever gets the most likes or votes or whatever gets this grant. And there was one of the competing organizations, this competing organization only had a couple hundred members, but the number of votes being generated by them was like going up by 4,000 votes every hour. Every single hour for days on end. And I started to go, something doesn't smell right about this. And so I started doing a little bit of research, and there are websites that you can go to and get them to vote, you know, and you can also get them to, you can hire them to be your Facebook friends or to like your Facebook page. So, yeah, I mean, the internet, you can literally buy anything on the internet.
Absolutely.
You can buy friends. So it's, yeah, so there's that. And what are some of the new gadgets? I noticed they've been pushing the virtual reality things. Have you seen the ads on TV for that? They're really pushing
I don't own a TV, so I'm in the process of looking for a TV.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So that's been my project the last couple of days.
So is it the Samsung S7 that goes in the virtual reality goggles? Is that
I think there's an early one for the 5, and then the 6 was a failure, and then I think there's a fairly recent one for the 7 that does all of that.
Got it. And that's not like you don't have to worry about your virtual reality goggles catching on fire or anything with one of those.
Well, it depends on if the phone's been fixed or not. I think they're working on the the Galaxy S8.
Got it.
So I think that'll be coming through relatively
soon.
So
if you were to like do a virtual reality thing, like where you're like, you're a fireman going through a burning building,
you need to be real careful.
You could
if
get
that fire's
a really
real
enhanced in experience with that. You know, it's like, wow, this is amazing. It's even getting hot.
Yeah.
I'm sweating. Ah.
Yeah. So why are the lenses melting?
Yes. But no, I've noticed they've been pushing it really hard there.
Yeah. I think the technology is very close to being able to pull it off.
Yeah. And so. And do you just get, is there just one particular app that goes with the goggles?
I haven't looked into it far enough, but I think it'll.
We have a common friend who has a set of those. Did you try his out at all?
No, I haven't.
Okay, yeah. So, it's, it looks like people have wasted a perfectly good 30 minutes, 25 minutes of their time listening to Geek Speak.
Excellent.
So, yeah. So.
You've been listening to Geek Speak. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer. From Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louis Girardo from Louis the Computer Guy.
Hey, thank you so much, Matt.
Absolutely. Be careful out there. The roads are getting slick. It's wet on 82 currently, and some more snow in the forecast. So be safe out there. Have a great evening.